every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Hour number two of the program begins right now. We play a little Van Halen because Danny Klinkskill agrees, greatest band ever, Van Halen. That's how he rolls with the Van Halen. Brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing, Joe Spiker's great company. Locally owned and operated. You need some roof work done? Not sure if you need some roof work done. Give Joe and his team a call at Easton Roofing. Absolutely no payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Best of Houses Award winner. Yes, they got it all. Check out their incredible Google reviews. Know this, whether it's commercial or residential, whether it's your roof, your guttering, your insulation, Easton Roofing has you covered. They will take care of you like your family. It's a family-owned business. Great work right now. And remember, when Easton Roofing comes to work on your project, it's Easton Roofing employees. It's not just one guy with a truck then going out and trying to find some guys someplace to come and do the job. No, these are the best in the business, Easton Roofing. Getting you back to business, getting you back to life faster. That's Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Danny, how are you, sir?
I am doing just great, Seren. It's good to be in the studio and have a nice day eventually. Boy, it's kind of crazy weather. It's like,
is it going to rain?
It's going to be a bad day. Is it going to be a good day? But
there's talk of like high school football being attended. And then I'm like, well, is it supposed to rain or not? Like, it's 51% right now. I see about 85% blue sky. I'd like to know who are the jerkies that are programming these apps.
It's changed pretty fast all day. So I guess it can.
And this is the kind of what is the connection
to this high school football game you were, in fact, thinking of it?
None. You think it's my idea?
Likely no. No. From the tenor of your comments here.
I was told your daughter's thinking she might want to go to the high school football game, and I'm not sitting by myself. I was like, okay.
You know, on a beautiful...
How about some high school football?
On a beautiful, warm evening, a nice high school football game sounds good.
I like high school football.
I do too. But
we've got some festivities going on at the house. My mom's birthday is tomorrow.
Right.
So we're...
But, you know, maybe a little windy, maybe a little chilly, maybe a few raindrops. They go watch the baseball game.
Yeah, yeah.
I certainly would be watching the baseball game.
No, listen, I have no problem going. I do. I hope that my daughter goes, no, not in this. If it's going to be like this, then I'm happy to go. I like high school football. So I'll enjoy watching the game. And, if we get this, great, let's do it. If it's misting and spitting and wind blowing and it's 50, no.
You know, back in the day, before high school football teams actually sort of emulated modern football and threw the ball all the time, doing a high school football game was one of the greatest gigs ever. I mean, you made a decent amount of money, and the games were over in, like, the blink of an eye. I mean, it was like, they might mostly run, they might throw 10 passes, and... You know, the quarters are 12. We're 12 minutes. I don't even know what they're. Are they 12 now or 15?
I don't know. I think they're 12.
I think they're still 12. Sometimes you beat, it's like a 7 o'clock game. And I did some TV high school, too, and that was pretty good money. And you'd be done by, like, sometimes 8:35.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like, this is nice.
That is the most Danny-esque thing. I don't have to work very hard, so I love this.
Especially if they run the ball, which
long. I like a good long sporting event too.
The Tour de France?
That's long. I wish I understood. This is a topic that we don't
understood
dive
cycling.
Into.
That's pretty simple.
Well, but the team aspect. No, it's not simple. I mean, there's almost everybody out there in the Tour de France is not trying to win. They are not trying to win. They are just part of a team that is assisting one guy.
They're not capable of winning.
Right. But no, some of them are actually good and will eventually be the guy who gets to win. But a lot of times they're just guys that's just busting his ass for 25 miles up a mountain, and then he just
kind of like
falls back.
Kind of like a coaching staff? or maybe a pit crew, or any number of other support elements in sports.
But these are participants, though. There's nothing else like it. I mean, it's not like like Formula One.
Right.
I mean, it's not like, you know, that there's a bunch of drivers out there. I mean, sure, there's some team aspects. They'll draft.
In Formula One, there's generally a number one and a number two.
They'll draft a little. And, yes, in NASCAR, there's that. But, you know, sometimes they actually do pop up and win a race or something. If you're not supposed to win, you ain't winning.
Yeah.
And but I love watching it. It's beautiful and everything else. But I wish I understood it. Just like rugby, I don't quite have the grasp of. When you watch rugby, do you totally?
I get rugby because I liked watching. I'm like, I got to do this. So I read up on what are the nuances of rugby. Like, is it rugby sevens? I think it is. Are you watching sevens? Or are you watching the full?
Usually watching the full. I know there's, and I understand most of it. There's sort of an aspect of
the one that's harder
that's
for me
to a first down, but you know that you can just boot it out of bounds and then you get it back and.
The one that's harder for me is Australian rules football.
No, that's hard, too.
Because I've never bothered to sit down. I saw a great Real Sport. I don't know if it was Real Sports or E60 or what it was. Or maybe it was a 30 for 30 on this great Australian rules footballer who I guess I don't know if he made a mistake or what, but just he was part Aboriginal and just how he was the racism that he faced.
Wow.
It was an incredible story. It's like, okay. Yeah, I'm not saying it made you feel better about this country, but it's like, okay, we ain't the only ones.
Sure.
Right? They got a lot of growing up to do.
All you have to do is watch Premier League soccer and see horrendous things that are going on over there racially. So,
But anyway, I digress. So,
right, so we both digressed a little bit. But
yeah.
Enjoy your high school football game if you go. And enjoy a nice, cozy home and man cave if you're watching the Astros and the Red Sox with a Corona in your hand.
Yeah, well, the Astros are going to take it, right? Like, this is their prove it that, like, oh, cheating, my rear end.
Well,
I think
they're still.
Or have they found a new way to cheat?
No, I don't think they probably have found a new way to cheat. I don't think they need it. And I think that I think the dynamic was shown in the final game of the series against the White Sox, because they lost, obviously, the game before in Chicago, and a couple of the White Sox pitchers were chirping about, well, you saw some of those swings and misses here in Chicago that we didn't see at Minute Maid Park, and the Astros just put two middle fingers in the air and scored 10 the next game. So, I think there's some aspect of it, but I'll never begrudge the people who are upset with them. I saw Rainey Gisarelli tweet today, said, well, now they're... You know, we've got the Dodgers have advanced after that crappy call. I guess let's hope for the Dodgers and Astros, and the Dodgers win the series in four games by a combined score of 171-1. People, I don't quite get the venom to that degree.
I don't
against
get it.
The Astros, but I.
Well, you know what I've said. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it's completely overblown. You steal signs at second base. I don't get the difference of being really good at it. Oh, yeah, if you're kind of a sloppy, half-ass sign stealer, okay.
Well,
you perfect it and make it a science, nope, you've gone too far.
I think
that's cowardice.
I think there was rules or at least something in play that said you weren't supposed to use technology. And apparently the Astros were using technology.
So a trash can is technology?
Well, they were using technology to send it to the trash can man.
Right.
We were running short on Wednesday with Frank, so I didn't use this one. One of the Frank opinions was, who are you rooting for in the ALCS, Red Sox and Astros? This is the Red Sox root. You know, this city hates any big market team. 81-19 Red Sox.
And listen, they're managed by a guy who was on the staff.
Yes.
Yeah. Eric Eager. And by the way, the Red Sox cheated too and ended up having to fire their manager. But the Astros have become the poster child for it. But the Red Sox, you know, Cora was fired.
Right, but they brought him back.
Well, they brought him back, but I mean, it's like, these are not, there's not a white hat
it's
on
no
their
degree.
Head.
No, there's not.
It's a degree of darkness to your hat.
I mean,
those two. You
know,
81-19.
It's Freddy versus Jason here. If you want to villainize one, you better villainize both.
Well, I think it's been very refreshing for me over the last 5 years when the Astros haven't been good. Certainly it was besmirched a little bit, although I didn't know it at the time, by the cheating scandal. Because, you know, as you grow a little older, you don't have quite the fire in your belly for your teams that you did when you were younger. And Astros are far and away my favorite sports team now. And I actually get nervous and get mad and everything else when I watch an Astros game. And I'm so glad. I thought maybe I was past that. And, you know, it's refreshing. It's nice. But the good aspect of it is that it doesn't really kill me when they lose. It makes me very happy when they win, and I'm excited during the game. But if they lose, and this time if they lose to the Red Sox, my whole extended family all roots for the Red Sox, so they'll be happy, and that'll be fine.
Yeah, there you go.
And watching baseball,
missing your ace is gonna
at
hurt.
What I think is
one of your aces.
Yeah, it's going to hurt for sure. But they've got Greinke, who they aren't using, so he's capable of going out there and sticking it to them. But also you get to watch baseball at Fenway Park, which is always fabulous television. And I think Minute Maid Park is, for indoor baseball, it's pretty nice atmosphere and a good watch on television, I think.
So. Better than the Trop, who
Trop's dreadful.
I said it has all the atmosphere of a downtown parking garage.
Well, the other problem is, although we understand the rules, it's still no fun watching Nelson Cruz hit a home run that falls in the middle of the outfield.
Yeah.
Home run! There it goes. It was off the D ring. Oh, good. Great.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah. you know, I agree. Listen, I'm looking forward to it. I picked the Astros to win it all. So now they had McCullers at that point, but I think they're a really good team. And I'd like to see them win because, I don't care. I don't think it was that big a deal. I think it's completely overblown. And it shows society's mob mentality of, oh, we got somebody down. Oh, let's get them. Oh, they're horrible. Makes me feel better if they're down. Like,
right,
whatever.
If it was your team, if Royals fans had found out that they were banging trash cans, they wouldn't have cared at all.
No, if it's your team, you don't care. This is an industry that stood watch and perfected the art of steroids. Okay, it's an industry that routinely signs kids before you're supposed to sign them at 15 years old, and it's an industry that pays basically brokers for 15-year-old kids to get them signed. Like, if you had any idea what all was going on in Latin America
right. With
this sport, and you're pissing and moaning because they had a camera and banged some trash cans over what pitch it was, spare me.
Right, and the Astros' offensive numbers that year were
borderline,
they were better on the road.
It's borderline human trafficking that goes on in this sport.
Right.
Selling off 16-year-old kids to the highest bidder. That's the international talent market.
Yeah. And in the past, you know, fiddling with birth certificates.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's still, I guarantee you, it's half-assed and a fraud.
But at least they're so young now that when they sign them that you probably don't have to, you know, jack around with the birth. To get over here, the people themselves used to jack around with the birth certificates, too, to, you know, say, I'm not 28.
Yeah.
Well, 21.
I'm not 20. I'm 17.
Right.
Then if you're popping it at 93, it looks like you're going to be, wow, that's 100.
But, like, when Fernando Valenzuela came up and he was supposed to, he looked about as...
Oh, he claimed he was 19,
yeah,
didn't
he? Supposed to be 19. He looked 30. Now he was,
I agree.
Now he was stout in that problem.
Stout is a kind of, so am I. I'm stout.
There you go.
He looked like me. That was the issue. Left-handed me.
Right.
You know, and gray
he
hair
like
and all.
An old Terry Forster.
The problem,
a man who was once called by David Letterman, this fat tub of goo, right. Terry Forster.
The problem for that, you know, Terry Forster today probably wouldn't even be seen as very fat because they had to wear those, you know, spandex uniforms, basically, double knits. Some of those guys who were supposed to be real fat, you look back at their pictures and you're like, that guy's not so fat. He's not that fat at all.
Like who?
Aurelio Lopez?
Aurelio Lopez was fat.
Yeah, he was fat.
Sorry.
Just bad uniforms.
But Terry Forster wasn't that fat. Really.
The Lopez had to wear the Astro uniform, and
now they carry it to the nth degree. Like, I'm a big fan of Brandon Crawford. I covered him at the All-Star Game in the World Series. A really great guy. And so I've always...
It's my man crush. I have one. It's Brandon Crawford.
He's a cool guy.
He's a cool dude.
He's cool in just about every way. But now he just wears that baggy-ass uniform. Yeah. The guy's a world-class athlete. I mean, he's in tremendous condition. Show it off, man. You can't tell. You can't tell if he's, like, ripped or sort of gooey. Can you?
Yeah, listen, there are a lot of times there's a right way and a wrong way to wear a baseball uniform, and there's a number of guys not doing it right these days.
Especially if you got the goods.
Yes,
he's a cool cat. I mean, you know, let's do it. I mean, his wife was a, you know, All-American quality athlete. I'm sure he's very athletic. Now, we've been on baseball clubhouses. There's a lot of guys that are really like, really?
A lot of pitchers.
A lot of pitchers, too.
Yeah.
You're just
maybe,
like,
a catcher.
Yeah. You're like, huh?
Like this?
Come on, try a little.
Let me tell you.
Try a little harder.
The Royals played, well, this is back when they were in Florida, and they played over in wherever the Braves were in the Disney complex. And so we went over to cover that, and I'm in the clubhouse of the Braves, and Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine are there. And I'm like,
how?
It's not a world-class athlete.
No.
Like, I mean,
no, and they,
it's
the
a world-class
thing is, like,
pitcher,
like,
but he's not a world-class athlete.
But it just was a little bit of laziness. They didn't need to be in tip. I mean, Tom Glavine.
Greg Maddux was a doughy.
Yeah.
Greg Maddux was the epitome of skinny fat.
Right. And
skinny little spindly arms.
And you see him now.
Belly.
He ain't skinny
fat.
No,
he's just fat fat.
He's just fat fat. But Glavine was like.
Meanwhile, his brother is like, needs a sandwich.
Right.
His brother, the pitching coach, right, it's like, you know, somebody get Mike Maddux a sandwich. I mean, good. He's got to be starving over there.
Glavine was a good athlete. He's a hockey player. Yeah. Everything. I mean, come on,
he's just
man.
Small. He's just yeah, like, you're like, yeah. Oof. But then Maddux walked over while I was talking. Glavine was who I was interviewing.
Good.
Glavine was really good. And Maddux had an attitude. His attitude sucked then. It's awful now,
it's
too.
But
he came over and I'm like, and was like, started talking to Glavine right in the middle of while I was talking to him, interrupted him just to be an ass. And I'm like, hey, I'll kick your ass from one side of this clubhouse to the other, man. Like, I honestly, I was like, I kind of want to go. I mean, especially I was 26 years old. I mean, lifting weights back. I was in some shape, and I was like, I will stomp your ass all over this clubhouse.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of pitchers that fans would be just shocked.
And by the way, today I'll fight Greg Maddux, too.
Yeah, well,
I'm ready to go today. Whatever's left of me, it's more than whatever's left of him or what he ever was.
You might take both
go
of you
belly
little
to belly with, belly to belly with Maddux.
Sumo.
Maybe 15-second rounds, okay? But I'm winning at the end of this thing.
It isn't all about conditioning. I remember seeing Brian Anderson, when he was with the Royals very briefly, he and Jeremy Offelt were walking through the clubhouse together, and Anderson always had the guns. He always had the cutoff shirt because he was kind of
jacked. Jeremy Offelt did not.
No, Offelt goes, dude, what's with the gun show? And Anderson goes, I like the guns, man. I got to show off the guns. He goes, I don't have guns. He goes, you don't need guns. You throw 98. I throw 88. I need the guns. And they're walking along. They turn the corner, and I hear Offelt go, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I was like, did I? I'm the only person who got to see that. That was pretty cool.
Offelt was pretty doughy himself.
Yeah. I don't know that he was doughy. He was just.
He just didn't try.
Wasn't defined.
I mean, he there was no weight training. He was not making
zero,
his way.
Zero
he was not Sweeney's spotter.
No.
Okay.
No, he back might, in, or
Johnny
might have stood
Damon.
There and watched him.
Yeah. Or Johnny Damon. Who?
Good job.
One more. Press it up. Under the elbows. Here we go. No, that was not Affeldt's gig.
No.
That job.
Not at all.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk some football, some college, pro football. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Take advantage of it right now. You know, they got different financing, lots of financing choices for you. Most roofing companies only have one. This means lenders competing for your business means you save money right now. Call Easton Roofing at 913-257-5426. They're online at eastonroofing.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
I never thought I'd be engaged with somebody who threw balls for a living. Yeah, when I grew up, I'm going to marry someone who throws balls. Yeah!
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Chiefs and Washington football team on Sunday in the nation's capital. Who was the last Washington quarterback to beat the Chiefs?
Goes back a ways, doesn't it?
It does.
By the way, while you're thinking, can I say this? Get off your ass and pick a name. Like, you know, the soccer thing is not going to work. I like it.
Especially
I think it for soccer because that's the culture of soccer. It is not the culture of football.
And if you're going to do it, call it the Washington Football Club.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's a little bit.
Now I'm like,
I thought it was cool as a way station to get to where you're going, but it's just stupid.
Plus, it's too close to WTF.
That organization,
WFT, your brain sees WTF.
I guess my point is that the organization, whatever name they pick, they're going to pick something stupid. They're going to be like the Jackrabbits. It's going to be awful. So I'd rather be football team than have some asinine, dumb name.
If there's a team that's wired tight, it's the Washington football team.
True. I guess I'm the one who's
all their success.
All the South Dakota State grads are mad at Jed.
Tweet at me. I'm sure we have tons out there listening. At JedRow24.
Come at me, bro.
What's come at me, bro?
So do you got a guess now?
Oh, boy. You know, there's such a wasteland of quarterbacks from, I'll just say, Sonny Jurgensen.
I'll take Sammy Baugh.
Mark Rippon.
Sammy Baugh.
That's the thing. There's such a wasteland of quarterbacks between the era where we're actually naming some guys who could
Rippon's
play.
Rippon's not a bad guess.
No.
It was actually Joe Theismann in 1983. Sure. That is the only game Washington has beaten the Chiefs. They are Chiefs are 9-1.
9-1 or 10-1? You said 10-1.
I thought it was 10.
I lied to me.
No, I said I wasn't sure if it was 9 or 10. It is 9-1. They have won 7 straight. They beat Washington in 92, 95, 01, 05, 09, 13, and 17.
Good to know.
That's the best record the Chiefs have against any NFL team.
No. And that all comes to an end on Sunday as the Chiefs lay an egg.
No, that's not happening.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
Even Danny Rue's like,
By the way, I do want to get your feelings in brief. We want to talk about football. And it's been well chronicled and criticized. But I did think that it was incredibly lame that Andy Reid didn't address the John Gruden situation. Incredibly. I'd go all the way to pathetic. It's pretty darn easy to sit up there and say, John Gruden's a friend of mine, but I can't associate myself with comments like that, and he should know better, and we should all know better. Just something like that. It's not selling out your friend.
You will get no argument from me. I mean, I think there's a bigger picture here. You're a leader of men. You're a leader of African American men.
Yes,
and I listen. I get that he's your buddy, and you want to stand by him. But I mean, I thought Derek Carr, you know, who can be kind of a boob, did a pretty good job of it. He's like, listen, I hurt for everybody involved. I hurt for John. He said the guy was good to me, and you know, I said I feel bad for him, but I feel bad for the people he hurt. I feel bad, you know, the comments were bad. I mean, you can do that. Like John Gruden did this. Yes. Not the people around John Gruden.
And also, none of this is taken out of context. Right. He wrote it. It's there. It's like a testimony.
If you say, listen, I feel bad, like, I don't think it's, let me put it this way. Anyone going through pain, you should have compassion for, right? I don't think it's a bad thing. In fact, I think it's the right thing. I'll say it this way. We all feel for the little girl and her family that were hit by Britt Reid, right? But I also feel for Britt Reid and Andy Reid's family. That's a tragedy that I don't wish anybody to go through. That is terrible. You have feelings. I think it's okay to say, hey, I'm feeling for them because they're hurting, right? Same way, I don't see where you can't say, yeah, what he did was wrong and I'm disappointed. And,
right.
You know, but I don't think that's the entire measure of the man. I think there's more there to it. I think he made a mistake. He's paying for that mistake. There's no place for these kind of comments and leadership. And I think John knows that now, and unfortunately he didn't know it then.
Yeah, I'm actually...
Yeah, there's a way to handle it.
Yeah,
sorry,
and you don't even really have to go that far.
No.
If you don't want to. You could make it fairly lame, but just go up there and say, nothing's to be served by me saying anything about it. No, there's plenty to be served.
Well, and I would say that this is an example of many people in power... make PR mistakes. Some are PR disasters. Dan Snyder at every turn, right? But I think I've said it before, and somebody quoted it back to me, and I'll stand by it. Andy Reid walks around that building like the Godfather. Nobody's questioning him. Nothing. No one of any kind. Clark Hunt is not coming in and questioning Andy Reid. Now, Clark Hunt can fire him, but the way things are right now, he's not going to. So Andy Reid literally does whatever he wants. And I think there are times that you start to think, because everyone around you will serve your every whim, that I can get away with saying whatever I want. And he is getting away with it. I mean, it's not like he's losing his job, and he doesn't warrant losing his job over this. But it just wasn't tactful, and it wasn't the best PR decision he could make.
Particularly, I think I'm sorry, Chris. Yeah. I think the issue rose to a certain level that I think there are many media markets where people wouldn't have just stood down. They would have. Now, it's a little more difficult in a Zoom setting and all that, and you don't have you're going to have your one question.
But that wasn't a Zoom setting. That was in person, wasn't it? That was Wednesday. Wednesday's in person. And it is limited to how long you get, and it is limited to how many people are there.
Right.
You know.
But still, I don't think there was – I think the issue was strong enough that I thought about it myself, is that if I was there –
Well, I will agree with you, because I was surprised there wasn't, like, today was the Zoom. He had his comments. Everyone who's on the beat, so that's, I would say, those of us that are regular Chiefs participants, I had a thought. I'm like, where do I go? And let me say this. The idea, I had a conversation about this with someone else, so I'll get your thoughts on this. The idea of doing things, quote unquote, the right way, to have a good relationship with an organization or team, when you're allowed no access whatsoever, what's the point?
Right.
Right? Like, you know, there was some conversation about, like, was a question too difficult towards Steve Spagnuolo? And I'm like, you know, maybe, maybe not. I think I've worked very hard throughout my career to always make sure that I don't go for the gotcha move and do things in a professional way. And there's access that I have gained because of that. Not much. not the old days, right? No. Like, and I'm like, when you sequester all of your assistant coaches and everybody in the front office to where they can't be spoken to by anyone, what is served by the media? Not just going like, you know, your defense is ass. Why? Like, did right. you forget how to coach defense? Like, there's a reason to believe, you know, the media, if you're a media member, that why not attack? Much of the fan base wants me to do it. That's what they're saying. They call the talk shows. They say these things about the defense. How is Dan Sorensen's ass still on this team? That's what fans want to know. That's what they ask me. So if I turned and asked them, what are they going to do? What?
Pull not your credentials.
Doubly there. Not let someone talk to me? They right. don't let anyone talk to me anyway, and, other than for like 6 minutes at a time.
And they were... no doubt thrilled. They weren't thrilled that we had COVID, but I'm sure every football organization, because it's just the nature of the sport and whatever, the paranoia, was delighted with the way that they had to handle business during the heights of the pandemic. And it now have carried on a template that's not completely like that, but very much like it.
You know, Steve Spagnuolo was asked by Sam McDowell yesterday what he thought of Tyrann Mathieu throwing his hands up in the air in a couple of plays, and Spagnuolo says you'd have to ask Tyrann about that. Well,
bring
we'd
him
like
out.
To, but we can't talk to him. And I'm sure Sam had he can speak for himself, but well, I'm sure he had the same thought in his mind. Well, then where is he? I'd like to, but I can't do that.
And also, there's not access for Sam after, you know, the game in the locker room. Locker room is
there's for like three or four people, and that's it.
Right.
What so, I wanted to say earlier was him.
Who's going to interrupt him this time and not let him get his point out? Me
him,
or you?
Him saying.
Well, anyways, Curtis, like I was going
to. Go. What I was expecting was Jeb was going to say, "Oh, break."
Him saying
nothing was not. It didn't help them. That was contrasted with Brandon Staley, who was just asked the question, "What do you think?" And he talked for 2 minutes, and it was fantastic.
Staley's right. becoming a
first
quick rock
guy.
Star in this
yes.
league.
And yes. I'm like, it is appearing more and more that the Chargers aced the two of the most important tests you can have, quarterback and head coach. And to say the things that he said, and Andy Reid wasn't even asked a question. He began his press conference by
preemptive
saying,
strike.
I'm not going to talk about this. So now it puts the reporters in a position where now I can't ask the question or else I'm going against the head coach.
Right, and also you're perceived as being a jerk if you do that. You've just been told that I'm not going to talk about it. And to be honest, he probably would have repeated the same thing. I'm stand by my statement. I'm not going to say anything. But why don't we turn to football this way? I want to get your reaction to this.
I do. I want to finish up because I'm glad you brought this up because we hadn't gotten to this subject and it's a good one. So I'm glad you brought it up. I think that's where you got to But I think for them, it's like they're going to watch no matter what we say. The money is going to flow in. The owners don't care. The taxpayers are going to flip the bills on the stadiums. It doesn't matter. Right? Like, that's where it is. And I wonder, this is the last thing. I actually forgot what I was going to say, and I filled with that. This is what I wanted to say. How would Andy Reid be different if he coached here for 14 years and then went to Philadelphia? How much of what we see in Andy Reid now are the scars of being... Because Philadelphia media, when I listen to their press conferences, and I'm like, wow. And in some ways, I'm like, wow. Like, but there are things I think that's just a cheap shot. You're just grandstanding.
There's far too much of that.
The week they played the Eagles, I listened to Sirianni all week. I'm like, hello.
There are some questions that you're like, you know what, man, I wouldn't ask it that way. I'd like to ask it. I think there's a better way to ask. There are others that are like, you're just a jackass trying to say, look at me.
Right?
Like, you're not going to get a response on that. But, like, I wonder how different Andy Reid would be because you don't get hit that way here.
No,
but he still has has the arm, the gloves up around and protecting the jaw at all times.
Did you get that? I know where you're going there. I see where you're trying to take.
Well,
this.
I watch him trying.
That's
to
a gotcha question.
Yeah, where is this? Are you trying to get me into a spot where you got me? You know. Anyway, so to football.
We're watching the game the other night, and my wife likes football, but she's no expert. She would be perfectly willing to say that. And so the Bills are just have guys running naked free around. I mean, especially at the outset of the game. It was pathetic. It was like watching. I used to go to the Gardner-Edgerton games when my daughters were in high school. They both were in the band at one point or another. And Gardner-Edgerton, it was a 5A school, but every other team in their league, I think it's the EKL or whatever it is, is 4A. And it was, like, embarrassing. And Bubba's out there, and he's just running around. And, I mean, it's 55 to zip. And, I mean, I had flashbacks to that while I'm watching Chiefs defenders running with their backs to guys who were running
behind. Who are catching the ball.
Catching the ball behind them and breezing down the field. I'm like, this is unbelievable. So out loud, I'm saying, this is unbelievable. And my wife just turned to me and asked a simple, short question. And she goes, well, why are they so bad? And I'm sitting there going, damn, you know, I don't know if I have a good answer. So I came up with this. This is something I've thought.
The Danny Klinkscale reason
this is
for
this is something I've thought
failure.
Of over the last. I think it's just a little bit of human nature. And now maybe they'll learn their lesson because they know it's not, there's no invincibility or whatever. I think it is human nature to think, well, Mahomes is going to bail us out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to really play that great. It's hard to play defense. It's hard to play football. And urgency involved in attention to detail and laying your body on the line and everything else, I don't think it can help but be diffused when you feel like, well, if we give one up, they'll just go get one.
Eric Eager said the exact same thing. He said it's like the LeBron James factor. Well, LeBron will do it for us. Like, we're there. I think it's the exact opposite of... You know, in gambling circles, we talked about a good football team will rally around a backup quarterback for one game, right? It's the backup quarterback, and everybody goes, oh, we got to bring it. Like, we don't have so-and-so. And you see their best. Then they win that game. It's like, yeah, we're all good. We're good. And then they go back to being who they were around the other star quarterback, but that star quarterback's not there. I think you're absolutely right. I think there's an element of, well, Pat will do it. Patrick will take care of it. And I think at some point, and we see him get frustrated, at some point, he's got to unload on somebody. He is, and I don't know that it has to be out in front of everybody here. Maybe it's in a game, although I don't think that would hurt. But like the whole Philip Rivers is yelling at his teammates. Yeah, because they're ass, and they need to hear it so that they get their head out of their sphincter and go play. And so I do think there's an element of at some point Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I remember Trent Green just laying into Sammy Parker. He unloaded on Sammy Parker one time on the sideline. Sammy Parker was a boob. I mean, you know, he could run fast. He was an Oregon track guy, and he sucked. He didn't have any idea what he was doing out there. And he clearly ran a route the wrong way. Trent Green threw it to where it was supposed to be, and it was picked off. And he went on the sideline, and he unloaded on him. And we get to the post-game press conference, and I'm like, Trent, it seemed like there was a little bit of a – you and Sammy had a discussion on that after that interception. Did he run the wrong route or what happened there? No, no. You know what? I threw it to the wrong spot. I went over and I told him, I said, hey, Sammy, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. I got to be better at getting you the ball. And I was like, bull, caca, okay? No way.
But the proper response, probably.
To Trent's credit, I've asked him about it since, and he will not admit to remembering the play and will not say that he buried Sammy Parker to this day. But he has said, oh, there are times you have to go let into somebody. So even to this day, he won't be like,
also, you know,
that guy sucked.
Also,
and, you know, but
you know he remembers
he wanted
that
to throw
play
him
too.
Under the bus.
Yeah.
But I know by looking at him, he knows exactly what I'm
yes.
talking about.
And you know he remembers the play, too.
Oh,
those
I'm
guys
sure
remember
he does.
Every play, every game like that. It's amazing.
But that
like,
being said, what is a satisfactory effort on Sunday? I mean, I think they're going to win. I mean, if they lose, all bets are off. I mean, it's the Chiefs suck. I mean, all of a sudden, they suck. There'd be no other way to look at it.
Yes, agreed.
But what's a good day?
A good day is a
I don't think 38. I mean, I don't think 38-30 is a good day.
Double-digit win.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs.
Washington football team score somewhere in the low to mid-20s at
no,
the
below.
Most.
I think
20,
you got a
20.
34,
yeah, 20. 20 tops.
20 tops yeah, on football team. You were held 20. To 20 by Buffalo. You need to yeah. do that to football team. 20 tops for them and mid-35 or more on the Chiefs. I've got 34-20, I think was my prediction I made for the station social
Washington
media stuff.
Throws one in late to make it 34-20, and
I it's got to be
well
decisive.
I guess my success for this game would be that the Chiefs have played almost no games for a long, long time where it was kind of boring. You know, boring good boring. They've been masters at keeping you engaged in the game, even when they've gotten
old template. Buffalo was a checkout. They were. I mean, there was like, are they getting back into this? Like, you had some.
I mean,
like,
when they've won,
Mahomes can do whatever type of thing. No, I know you're right. They,
you know, there were times you're like, well, there's no way. I mean, okay, they go up by 10, the other team cuts it to 7, but they're going to score. Whatever. I mean, a lot of that, and then it got. And this year, it's gotten a little dicier, and then of course they've lost them. So this one should be one where you're just like out eating dip in the middle of the second quarter in the other room. And Chiefs score again? You know, give me another beer. I mean, that's the type of game it should be.
We'll take a break. Danny Klinkskill's with us. Danny Unleashed brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing, project manager on every site. Happy to do repairs. They'll educate you about every possible solution. You don't always have to have a new roof. Of course, if that's what you need, they can do it. And, of course, multiple lenders there to finance you on that as well. But they can also be it could also be a situation like I had on my roof where you didn't need the whole new roof. You just needed the repairs. They're happy to do that as well. Call Joe Spiker and his great team at 913-257-5427. Online at eastonroofing.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
This drama contains adult language. Discretion is advised.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Danny Klinkskill with us. He will be hosting.
Yes, College Game Day.
College Game Day.
Yes.
What game intrigues you the most for
I don't know.
For one Jed Marshall, it's that Kansas Tech game he finds very intriguing.
Well, it strikes me that I heard one of the promos on the station the other day, and it was talking about Kansas, its homecoming. You know, most teams can sort of take a gander at the schedule and come up with one that you might win. I mean, they should have just it should have been the first game.
Yeah.
You know, that's all you think about. This is the best and last chance to win, I think. But they're a 17-point underdog, and I expect a royal ass-kicking. But, you know.
Okay. Mizzou only getting 9 from A&M?
They've got to hope that it is a perfect scenario for them if they're going to play A&M, who clearly has a lot of talent, and you know, you got 11 o'clock. And
I don't think A&M's that good. I think Jimbo Fisher's, I believe Will Harris, that he's kind of a fraud.
But they get really great athletes, and Missouri's not playing
do
good.
Do they? Then are they the worst coach team ever? I know they beat Alabama, but against Colorado, did you see that game?
Right, but I think they...
Against
they,
Mississippi State?
I think if you got the athletes they had and you got... I think to Will, his point, I think if you had a really quality coach in there, I think that they could be held, that program could be hell on wheels. But it's an 11 o'clock kick. They just, you know, poured it out against Alabama. They do still have, I guess, a lot to play for because they're only 1-2 in the Southeast Conference, so that would give you some incentive. I mean, A&M. But you'd think that A&M would be able to run it down Missouri's throat, but I think it's an opportunity game for them. I do, and I'm not going to be surprised if it's a game, but they just haven't been able to stop anybody.
He has to beat, he being Eli Drinkwitz, a ranked team, or he won't get to 6-6.
Right, and that will be.
And
two.
This was I heard the debates. I remember listening to the Zone. 8-4 or 9-3. Was the expectation coming into the year?
Sure, I mean the schedule laid out, and you were saying, well, when we get to whatever game, maybe this one, there was like, Mizzou's going to be 6-0 when they play A&M at home.
Yeah.
And I think what are they?
3-3.
That's the right amount of, that's the right math. And I do think the other local game is very intriguing, too. In fact, that's probably the one that I am most intrigued about is Iowa State and Kansas State.
Do you think K-State and Iowa State are still on the same level? Iowa State was grossly overrated, or... This is where Iowa State shows up the way people thought they were going to.
I sort of lean to the latter, and I think that K-State isn't as good as they were showing early on, but this is a chance for them to show that because I think Iowa State is a good football team, and I think they are a well-coached football team.
You agree with me? Like Brock Purdy, like the incredible sane guy, like he's no better now than he was when he first got there.
But he can be... That's what he's got the what Stan Weber, my cohort, obviously in Game Day, always calls the danger factor for teams. He can be really good for like three quarter. You know, he can run you off the field. He can
right.
be great, and then he can have another game where he just throws the ball to you. So, three good games, three fun games. We'll talk about it at 9 o'clock.
Two good games. Two good games. Settle down. Two good games. Danny, appreciate it. Danny Klinkscale, brought to you by our friends
coming.
At Easton Roofing. Check out his great work at DannyKlinkscale.com.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, on this day to 1988, Kirk Gibson's World Series homer off Dennis Eckersley, who was on base. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.